We'll be in, I want to take our text from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Look with me to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the message of redemption that we just heard. And Father, we just pray that that you continue with us. Thank you for all the messages that we've heard throughout this conference. Father, we come before you, and I come before you, and I humble myself and just confess my need of you. Father, I pray for each one today that you'd help us all, Father, to confess our need to you, Lord, and our need of you to just come and to meet with us and to speak with us and work in our hearts. And just pray, Father, that you'd help me and give me the things that I need to deliver your word in a way that pleases you. Pray that you'd help me and forgive me for all the ways that I fail. And we ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought that stands out from these things that I want to bring to you today is living in pursuit of heavenly things. Living in pursuit of heavenly things. We just heard about this wonderful redemption that we have in Christ. For those of you that are saved, for those of you that have been redeemed and risen with Christ, do you understand what your life is about? Do you understand what Christ has saved you for? Do you understand that your life has a purpose? Do you understand that you are supposed to be living now for Christ? Do you understand that that is what the redeemed are saved to do? That you are to live for Christ. So that you are to live in pursuit of heavenly things. So I ask you today, what are you living for? What is the passion and pursuit of your life? To most, it's something on this earth and in this life. But for the child of God, it should be the things of heaven and of Christ. These are the things that we're to be living for, that we're to be pursuing. We get so caught up in the things of this life. And we forget that that's not what it's about. That's not to be our pursuit. It's not to be our goal. It shouldn't be the passion of our life. The things in this world are not it. We're to be pursuing the things where Christ is. He's our life. That is what we're to be pursuing. That is what we're to be living for. The children of God are called to leave the old life and its pursuits behind them and to live a new life in pursuit of heavenly things in Christ. Sadly, though, many who profess to be risen with Christ never truly leave their old life and their old pursuits, and therefore live only a shadow of what a Christian life is supposed to be. They live an earthly life instead of a heavenly one. You can't what you're pursuing is what your life is going to be about. If you're caught up in the earth, if you're caught up in the world, you're not pursuing the heavenly things that you ought to be. And your life is going to reflect that. You're going to be living an earthly life rather than the heavenly life you've been called to live. Rather than fulfilling your purpose in Christ that you've been called to live. Many wander in the wilderness as Israel of old rather than entering into the life of promise with Joshua and Jesus. That's what we need to be about. So number one, a heavenly pursuit. A heavenly pursuit. Verse 1 in our text says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." This is to be your pursuit. You're to be seeking those things. That's what your pursuit should be of this life. Hebrews, turn to Hebrews with me, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 8 through 16. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned," we should probably underline that one, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. And then we should probably underline that too. We see in those couple verses there that he wasn't planning on staying. He was living in a tent, and he was sojourning. And he was looking, as we keep reading, for his heavenly calling. Sojourned in the land of promise, as in the strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. But we see here that Abraham, when he was called out, he didn't remain in that old life. He didn't remain in that old way. The pursuit of his life now changed. He was seeking the heavenly. He was seeking the things that he'd been called to in Christ. His life was no longer about this earth. You see, he lived in that tent, and he sojourned in the land. He wasn't setting up shop, if you will, like we heard about in the beginning of this conference, like Lot. He didn't set up shop there, but he dwelled in a tent, and because he was living a life of heavenly pursuit, he was pursuing those things that are above in Christ. He'd left off the old life. He left off the earthly pursuits. He left off the earthly ambitions and the earthly goals and the earthly things. He was pursuing the things that were laid up for him in Christ. He was pursuing those heavenly things that were laid up in Christ. So the central pursuit of those risen with Christ should be the things of heaven, where Christ is. In other words, the things pertaining to the eternal life in Jesus Christ. This should be the theme of our lives. The reason for all that we do. The things in this life should not be the goal of our lives. They shouldn't be the goal of our lives. These are just the means. These are just the things that, these are just necessities that we have to have while we're here. They should not be the object of your love. They should not be the object of your pursuit. Your pursuit, your love, your passion should be Christ and the things of Christ. The things of this earth aren't it. They're just the means. They're just while we're here to get by. But the things of this life, they ought not to be our goal, but rather the means by which we're striving for the goal. We're striving for the goal. We're striving for Christ. We're striving for the heavenly things in Christ. For example, work should not be your goal. It should just be a means. It's just a means to put food on the table. It's a means to pay the bills if you have the bills. But it's just a means. It should not be your goal. It should not be something that consumes your life. That's not what your life is about. You need to keep those things in perspective. Work should not be the goal. But your goal should be to serve Christ where you're at. Wherever you're at in your work, you should serve Christ. Hobbies, vacations, free time, all these should be used as means for our improvement in Christ. These, you know, those things that we just get them all out of proportion. We get those things that we like to do, and we just run off the deep end with them. And we start living for these things. We start living for something that's in this earth. And that's not it. That's not what our lives are about. All of these things in this life should be used as means for our improvement in Christ. You know, we can even get caught up in family. We can put our family above Christ. And we can put them ahead of Christ. Listen, Christ has called us to follow Him no matter what. To follow Him no matter what it costs, no matter if our family agrees or not, no matter if our family won't follow us. But we're to follow Christ. We can't put our families above Christ. Family's a great thing, wonderful thing. God gave us families. But we're not. It's another thing that we're to use to glorify God. It's another thing that we're to use to exalt Christ. Our families should be about teaching one another and loving one another in Christ and bringing up our family in the things of Christ. And you parents that have children, your lives and your home should be about teaching your children to follow Christ. It shouldn't be about teaching them to serve the things of this world. We teach by example more than we do by our words. What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them that we believe? What are we teaching them that our lives are about? We need to be teaching them to follow Christ. We need to be showing them by our love for Christ, by our passion for Christ, by our living for Christ, that Christ is what life is all about. It isn't about the things of this earth. It isn't about anything in this earth, and nothing comes before Christ. That's what we ought to be teaching our children. That's what we ought to be living in front of our children. Any relationship should be for the mutual growth and improvement in Christ. If you can't say a relationship, there is no relationship that is good for you except for that it mutually improves both of you in Christ.
Amen.
You should be it should be a blessing to you, and you should both grow closer to Christ in the relationship. That should be the if that's not in the relationship, the relationship's not good. It's not good. I don't care what kind of a relationship it is. If Christ isn't the center, if Christ isn't the reason, and if you're not improving in Christ in that relationship, it's a bad relationship. You need to understand that everything in this life is just a means by which we pursue Christ and our heavenly calling in Him. Whatever you do, Christ should be the theme. Whatever you pursue, Christ should be the reason and the goal. You need to examine everything that you do and say, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of what I am doing? It should be, Christ should be your reason, and Christ should be your goal in everything that we do. Let's look in Deuteronomy 6 for a minute. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3. It says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see, these the words of God, the things of Christ, the truths of God's word, these things should be a constant. These things should be constantly in our minds. They should be constantly in our conversation. They should be constantly in our way of life, and constantly in the things that we're teaching and showing to our children, to the next generation. We're to be showing and teaching and constantly engrossed in the things of God. We're to be loving Him with everything that we are. Verse 8, it says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." There is always that. There is that danger. There is that danger of getting caught up too much in these things in this earth. There's danger of when there's abundance, there is a danger of forgetting. Forgetting the things of God. Forgetting what our lives are about. Forgetting the things that we're supposed to be pursuing. Forgetting what our heart and our lives and our love and our strength and our lives would be devoted to. There's a danger of forgetting our love. There's a danger of forgetting what our lives are about. But Christ should be our pursuit. He should be the things that we are pursuing in this life. Back in our text there in Colossians verses 2 and 3 there, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We saw there that we should be involved in the heavenly pursuit. In verse 1, we should be seeking those things that are above in Christ. Verses 2 and 3 talk about our heart. Talk about our setting our affection. So we need to be having a heavenly passion. Verses 2 through 3, think about it. You know, the motivation for any pursuit is passion. If you're passionate about something, you pursue it. If you're passionate, if you're in love with something, you pursue it. Think about it. I mean, you know you've had earthly things in your life that you can relate to. You can relate to things that you just got caught up in and you got passionate about and you pursued it. And you devoted your time to it, and you devoted your life to it, and you devoted your time to it. Apply that to Christ. Apply that to a pursuit of Christ. Apply that to setting your affection on Christ and the things of Christ. That's what we're to be pursuing. But we need to be motivated by a heavenly passion. We need to have this a heavenly passion to motivate our heavenly pursuit. You know, again, those passionate about work, devote their lives to it. Those passionate about sports, devote their lives to it. And on, we could look at those things. But those passionate about Christ will devote their lives to Him. That's what we need to be about. We need to be passionate about Christ. We need to be passionate about the things of Christ and living for those things. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is, obviously we understand that Paul was passionate about Christ. And we understand that that Paul was speaking of the things that he had accumulated in the Jewish religion. We understand that those are the things that he was forgetting. But we can apply those things to forgetting the things that are behind us. Forgetting the things that that are of the past life. You're dead, they said there in our text. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so you need to realize that that you need to put off those that old life. Put off those old pursuits. Forget those things that are behind. Forget those things that you once pursued. Forget those things that you once sought after. We need to put those off. And we need to pursue Christ, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But those that are passionate about Christ, they will pursue Him. So set your affection on heaven and remove your affection from the world. How do we do this? How do we do this? We do this by investing your heart. Investing your heart in heavenly things. Where are you investing your heart? Where are you investing your life? What are you devoting your time, your love, your ability, your life to? This is how we set our affection. You set your affection on something by devoting yourself to it, by applying yourself to it, by pouring your life into it. The more of yourself that you put into something, the more that you love. We have these things in the Scriptures. And we'll turn to some of those Scriptures in a minute. But we need to be investing our lives in the things of heaven. We need to be investing our lives in the things of Christ. The more of your love, your life, your time that you give to God, the more your affection will be set on heavenly things. And obviously the opposite holds true. If you give your love, your life, and your time to the world, your affections will be set on this earth. Let's look in Matthew. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I mean, that's just as plain as it is. Where are you storing up your treasure? That's where your heart's going to be. That's where your passion's going to be. And that's how much you're going to pursue Christ. And that's how much you're going to pursue the things of Christ. Where are you setting your affection? Where are you storing your treasure? That's what you're going to love. That's what your life's going to be about. You're known by your life. People can tell you what your life's about. People can tell you what you like to do, what you're passionate about. Are you known for being passionate about Christ? We need to ask ourselves these things, but we need to invest ourselves in the things of heaven. Invest yourselves in those things. Look in. Turn over to Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things to the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at in an hour that ye think not. But we need to be constantly preparing ourselves, constantly being ready, constantly devoting our lives and our hearts to the things of Christ. We need to be. That's what our lives are to be about. We're to be waiting for Him, and we're to be living our lives for Him as we wait for Him, as we look for Him, investing our lives in the things of heaven. First John. First John, chapter 2. 1 John 2 and verses 15 through 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But think about how... what a waste of time it is to lay up treasure in earth. What a waste of time to invest our lives in things that are just going to pass away, in things that are not going to last, in things that are not eternal. What a waste. What a waste of time. Why? The only way we can be doing this is because we're not understanding what our lives are about. We're not understanding that we're not called to invest our or really waste our lives in the things of this earth. But we're called to live our lives seeking the things of Christ. Seeking and pursuing the things of Christ. Why would we waste our lives in the things that are just going to pass away? This life, these things, this earth, this existence, it's all going to pass away. So don't invest your heart here. Invest it in heavenly things to come. Revelation 21, let's look there for a minute. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. This is where we're headed. You know, this is the end of the book. This is the end of the book and the beginning of eternity, but this is where we're headed. In Revelation 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." This is where we're headed. And we need to be living as if we understood that that's where we're headed. You see, when we're pouring our lives into this earth that's going to pass away, we are not understanding our heavenly calling in Christ. We are not understanding where we're headed. We don't know what it's about. If we're investing our life in this earth, we've missed it. We are not getting it. We are not understanding what we've been called to in Christ. We're missing it. So we need to realize that we need to be investing ourselves in the things of heaven. We need to be investing our lives in those things so that our heart is there, so that our passion is there, so that we will pursue the things of Christ. If you're not passionate about Christ, you are not going to pursue Him. You are not going to pursue those things. You're going to live for the things that you're passionate about. You're going to live for the things of this earth. So what are you passionate about? We need to be passionate about Christ. Invest your heart in the things of Christ. Invest your life in the things of Christ. That's what you're called to if you're a child of God. Lastly and thirdly, we want to look at a heavenly purpose back in our text here, verse 4. It says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Christ is our life. We're dead. If you're trusting in Christ, you died with Christ, and you've been resurrected with Christ. The Bible tells us we sit positionally. We sit in Christ. He is our life in more ways than we could ever put into words. I can't even put into words this passage. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then she also appeareth in glory. Christ is your life. Do you understand that, child of God? Do you understand that Christ is your life? That nothing in this world is your life, but Christ is your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, your life has been preserved in Christ. If you're a child of God, you are preserved in Him. And that is where your life is. That is where eternal life is. And that is where the grace of God and His kindness is stored up for us and all eternity, as we read about in Ephesians 2, that will be poured out on us. It is reserved for you in Christ. Christ is your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. We see that word glory there. We're going to appear one day with Christ in glory. When He comes back for His saints and calls them up, we are going to appear with Him in glory. He's going to come, and we are waiting for the redemption of our body. We are waiting for those things, and one day He's going to call us up. He's going to call us up out of this old life, and as we read about in Romans 7, He's going to call us up out of this old flesh, this old wretched man that I am. We're waiting for the redemption of our body, Romans 8, and we're looking for those things. One day He's going to call us up. And you know what we've been, as Brother Works pointed out in Romans 8 and 28 and down through those verses there, that we've been, not only that, but we're going to be glorified. We're going to be glorified in Christ. And so when we think about this word glory, Ye shall also appear with him in glory. Glory is not only the place, but it is the state. You're going to appear with him in glory. One day you're going to be glorified. Now, in simple terms, you're going to be made like Jesus. You're going to be made. You're going to be fitted like after his likeness. You know what? That work has already begun in you in redemption, and that work is going to be completed one day when he calls you up. When he calls you up, and you're going to be with him in glory. That's what your life's about. That is what God has for you in Christ. That is what Brother Works preached on so wonderfully. That redemption doesn't end with just, okay, I'm saved, now I'm waiting to go to heaven. You are predestinated to be made according to the image of his Son. That is part of it. That is what God has for you. And so we need to understand then our heavenly purpose. You have a heavenly purpose. You are to be, you are to glorify God and live for Him. But specifically, you're to glorify Him as your life conforms to Jesus. You are to be made after the image, and you are being conformed more and more to that. But that's where you're headed, and so you have this heavenly purpose. And so, like a heavenly passion, is the motivation to a heavenly pursuit. An understanding of our heavenly purpose will fuel the fire of our passion for Christ. That will fuel the fire for that passion for Christ. So we need to ask ourselves, do we understand our purpose? Does your life have a purpose? Do you understand the purpose that God has for your life? Most wander aimlessly through life looking to be fulfilled by some earthly purpose for themselves. But for the child of God, your purpose is to be like Jesus. That's God's purpose for you. That eternal plan of redemption, His purpose is that one day you're going to be conformed completely and perfectly and forever to Christ. Amen. Do you understand your purpose? How can we live for earthly things if we understand that that's where we're headed? If that's where we're headed, how do we live for earthly things? Well, we need to know and understand our purpose. For the child of God, your purpose is to be made like Jesus. Your life is to be a living example of the life-transforming power of God through the life of Christ in you. You should be a living example of the life-transforming power of Christ. That should be, your life should show that. Can people see that in your life? Can they see that God has saved you? Can they see that if you're a child of God and claim to be a child of God, do they see that in you? Do they say that person has something? That person has something different. That person has been transformed by the power of Christ. That what they say they have, they really have. That they have been transformed by the power of Christ. But that is your purpose. That is what God has made you for. Let's turn and read there in those scriptures again in Romans for a minute. Romans 8 and verses 28. Down through 29 there. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." You know, and that's how we know. That's how we know that all things are going to work together for good. Just like Brother Works pointed out, if you don't understand election, if you don't understand predestination, if you don't understand those things, then you don't know that it's all going to work out for good. You don't have that confidence. You don't have that assurance. You don't have that comfort. But if you understand that God has a purpose, if you understand that you've been called according to that purpose, if you understand that redemption means that you one day are going to be glorified completely in Christ and that is where you're headed, you understand that nothing's going to stand in the way of God's purpose. And so that is God's purpose for you.
Amen.
It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And so that is God's purpose. You are going to be one day completely and perfectly conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." And there's where we say that in Christ, we are glorified in Christ, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Because Christ is our glory. It's in Him. He is the life. He is the glorification. It's all in Christ. And we have been called according to that purpose. Your purpose then is in Christ. You are to glorify God as you testify the power of Christ in you. That's your purpose. And God is going to bring you one day to glory in Christ.
That's where we're going. That's where you're headed as a child of God. We need to be living. We need to be living examples of these things. We need to be living examples. And how can we do that if we don't understand it? How can we do that if we're living for the things of this earth? If we are living for the things of this earth, how are we going to live for the things of Christ? How are we going to be a testimony of what we believe if we don't understand what our purpose is in Christ? That one day that he's bringing us to this place, and that we're to be now as a living testimony of these things. But we need to understand this purpose that God has for us in Christ. Look also in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Down through 10, and we've been here, but it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's God's purpose for your life. That's what you're to be doing now, child of God. Now that you've been redeemed, now that you've been called, justified, now you're to walk in these things. That's God's purpose for you in Christ as you walk in this earth. You're to walk in the things of Christ, and you're to walk in those good works. Titus 2. Been there, but these all go together. Titus 2 and... Titus 2. See, listen, if you're a child of God, Jesus taught you something when he saved you. He taught you to depart from sin and to live for him. He put that desire in your heart. He taught you something. Listen, when a person's saved, they don't just go back to their old life. They don't just go back to the old sin. He brings you out. He brings you out of Egypt. He gives you a new life in Christ. You don't stay in that old life. Look there in verse 11, Titus 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Amen. You have a purpose for Christ. You are to be a living testimony of the power of Christ in you. You are to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That you're not to just exist. You're not to just go along with the world. You're not to just fit in, as we heard, like Lot. And we're not to lose our savor in the world, but we are to be. We're to be a testimony. We're to be a light. We're to be that salt that we heard about. That is the purpose for your life. While you wait, while you're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. We're not just waiting around and taking up space, but we're living and we're living our life as if we believed. We're living our lives looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So your life is to be about that. Look also in 1 John. 1 John 3. First John 3 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's that redemption that we just heard about. "Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You see there how that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us? You see that that if Christ has come, if you really know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he teaches you, that he gives you a hope, that he gives you an understanding of where you're headed. And that hope fuels this passion and desire to live for Christ. Do you see how that Christ puts that in a child of God? Do you have that if you claim to be a child of God? Do you have that teaching? Do you have that understanding
Do you know these things? I hope that you can say that you do. I hope that you know. I hope that you can look back and see a time when Christ came and He pulled you out of the wretchedness of your sin, that He totally transformed your life. Not just an addition to your life. You know, Christ isn't an addition to your life. Christ isn't an accessory to your life. Christ is a transformation. When Christ comes into your life, He won't leave you in Egypt. He'll bring you out. He'll bring you out. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not in them. He doesn't leave you there. You know, that's not redemption. If you claim to be saved and you're still in your sins, that's not redemption.
Amen.
You haven't been brought out of Egypt. He shall save their people, His people from their sins. He doesn't leave you in that life of sin. But we're predestinated to be glorified, made like Jesus. Therefore, we're to be living our lives in passionate pursuit of our purpose in Christ. If we understand, just like in 1 John there, if we understand these things, we're going to be living a life that says, yes, I understand this. So again, I'll ask the question, what are you living for? Where are your affections set? If you're a child of God, predestinated to glory in Christ, are you living with that as the purpose and the goal of your life? What are you living for? We need to understand where we're headed. We need to understand what our purpose is in Christ, that God has a purpose for us. But we need to be about that. That's what our lives need to be about. A child of God is meant for much more than an ordinary earthly existence. You're meant to live an extraordinary life in Christ. And we need to realize that. We can't be getting caught up with the things of this earth. We need to be living our lives to the fullest in Christ. I want to read one more scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 12 in verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and speaking of all those that we that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. But Jesus has secured that redemption. He has run the race, and He has won the victory for us. But He has left us a course, and He has set us a course. And we all have a race, if you will. We have a life to live for Christ. And we need to be running our race. We need to be setting aside the things that hinder us. Those weights. Those sins, those things that creep up into our lives, that get a hold of our hearts, that take our love and affection away from the things of Christ, we need to be setting aside those weights and running the race that has been laid out for us in Christ. You have a purpose in Christ. You have a life to live. You have a race to run in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be running it. But, you know, if we're carrying about a bunch of weight of this world, if we're attached to the things of this world, if our heart is all bound up in the things of this world, we're not going to run the race like we ought to run it. You know, we're going to be dragging along with all this weight. We need to lay aside that weight, and we need to run our race for Christ with all our heart.